What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
I guess we should maybe start by, does any of us have any tennis experience
at all? I do.
You do? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you play when you were younger, or do you play now? Or
I play every week now, and I played seriously at a low level for my high school team. I was first singles and a part of a first doubles team, which is like your ranking within the team. And I'm surprised you don't remember this, because this is one of my main stories. Like, I dislocated my arm while serving, and then I stopped playing tennis.
I do remember this now.
That's why I thought you invited me. So honestly, this is really disappointing.
It is all coming back. That is all coming back. And I would say that perhaps we did know this and just forgot before right now.
Was being a podcast host, honestly, I did remember that you played tennis. I forgot that you dislocated your shoulder, but I forgot you dislocated your shoulder until you just said that. And then I was like, oh my God, that's right. I remember that you dislocated your shoulder, which makes your being on this even more apt because of what happens in this movie. But okay, cool. And so you still play now, though. That's fun.
Yeah, I play every week with my girl Claire. Shout out to Claire. And it's a much slower pace. We're kind of talking at the net 90% of the time, but we're getting in there doing like maybe six games, you know, not like a full like couple of sets. Okay. But it's fun.
The Daily Show, they had like a segment about like pickleball taking over tennis courts, and how that's like there's like some beef between like the pickleball community and the tennis community over who gets to play on the courts.
Now, what is pickleball? I don't know that sport either.
Oh, James. Yeah. Where have you been?
I don't play
it's like
any.
It's smaller with like the wooden paddles. I don't know all the rules to pickleball. I don't know if it's like kind of close to racquetball. Are there any like, if there's a crossover there, but I don't know all the rules, but it feels kind of similar to tennis.
I think they're swinging.
It looks like they're doing forehands and backhands, but I feel like the reaction time is like really high because you're so close to the net.
Yeah, like the ball, it's like the ball doesn't fly as much because it's like it's like almost like a wiffle ball, but like I think it is similar to tennis. I feel like a lot of the same rules apply of like you have to hit it over the net, it has to bounce one time on the other side, you know.
There are these other rules. It's pretty different where it's like you're allowed to hit it if it like if there's a bounce within this zone but not this zone, and you can like directly hit it without it bouncing. It is different, and I don't know those rules, so I've never sat in. There's like, but I don't know. It looks fun. I don't have a beef against it, but I think like, you know, people have really kind of put a flag in it that it's for elderly people who are kind of aggro.
I was gonna say it is like there's a lot of elderly people who play it because it's kind of like a game. It's like a fun, it's like people who are probably were super athletic and competitive when they were younger, and they like can't do that anymore, but they're like, I'm gonna play pickleball, you know.
I believe it was like a big scene. I didn't see it, but I remember the commercial for The Golden Bachelor where they're playing pickleball, like all of the older ladies, and some lady like really goes for it and takes a spill, and it's like, oh, she went for The Golden Bachelor. Like, it's very cute.
Oh my goodness. The Golden Bachelor. That's another thing to not even get into, The Golden Bachelor. All right, so James doesn't know what pickleball is. And have you ever played tennis, James?
Just in like gym, like high school gym. I've never
played.
We played like so little. We played like But I think it was because it was like it takes up so much space, and you can't really, you know, if you have a big class, it's like you have to take turns and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't think we even had a tennis team in high school, which is annoying. But I remember the short time I played, I really liked it. I felt like I could have been good at it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun sport, you know. I feel like it's such a mental sport, because when I used to play talking to myself in my mind so intensely and like being like, you got to do this, mm-hmm. and you got to get your hand up, and you have to do like you're doing everything wrong. And like, it really is like a mental game where you can spiral. But yeah, I miss it. It's fun.
Hey, I, you know, if you ever play sometime and want an extra person, maybe me and James can be the challengers.
Wow.
That's really, really cute and a great segue. But people who don't know how to play tennis are like really like annoying and horrible, and they don't realize how difficult and nuanced it is. So you will not be invited. I apologize. You're okay, like, I'm going to be really bad.
That's the best response to brace transitions.
Yeah.
I think we've ever had.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
But I mean, if you want, you know,
but absolutely,
if you're like, oh, if you want new challenges,
if I want a challenge,
I don't want anyone who can't play in my vicinity. No, thank you.
Okay, all right. Ted, let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock,
James III,
Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood, Hollywood City.
And this is silent, but my line is this. You guys see what I did? You guys see what I did? It's from the movie.
Yeah, I did see what you did. You used two imaginary props to do something that we could barely see.
Yeah, but
and the audience can't, because this is a podcast.
But I did it. You know what I mean? I did it. I did the line. And honestly,
no, it wasn't a line.
And honestly,
James.
If those listening have seen the movie, I bet they know what line I just did. I bet they know what line I just did.
You could have. You did it. It wasn't a line, because it's not dialogue. And there was a lot of good dialogue in the film that you could have chosen.
Right. But I did a line because it was a line, you know,
okay,
because it communicated a very clear.
It's not a line.
You were fully obstructed by your microphone. We have no idea what you just did.
I did a line. It's fine.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. What if I did it this way? Do you see? Hold on.
First of all, doesn't know his framing. Yeah.
Okay, the frame is off. Is the
Your
frame
hands
off?
Are out of the frame. And also,
my,
again,
it's in frame on my computer.
You.
It's in frame. Okay.
James got a computer
medium.
Today. He's figuring it out.
Come on. That was a line. What I just did was a line.
That was another line that I was thinking about doing, but I chose to do the line that I did.
Okay, enough of this. Listen, we have an excellent show for you today. For those of you who don't know, this is a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. All right, there's three of us that host this, but Jerron Milligan isn't here right now. The voice you're listening to that sounds like, what does this voice sound like? I guess it sounds like someone who might be really, really great at tennis. They just need a good coach. Somebody to believe in them and not brush them off and say
they're
annoying.
Sound like somebody who ain't showered in a couple days.
Someone who could be their coach, and then they listen to everything that they say.
Somebody
and
who
then
steals the front desk lady's Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay. All right. Well, this is the voice of Jonathan Braylock.
And I'm James III.
All right. That's not your voice.
Yes,
and we have an excellent guest with us today, a return guest back on the podcast. You know and love her from Astronomy Club, writer of Black Lady Sketch Show, and many other credits.
That's
please welcome.
True. I didn't write on that show.
You didn't?
I wrote for the Tonight Show.
Tonight Show.
Hi, I'm Caroline Martin. I was on a team with Jonathan and James III for years. and they don't know me at all. I believe you were crediting Monique Moses,
who's
also on Astronomy Club, who I am not. I am Caroline Martin.
I forgot Caroline's credits.
I came here to be disrespected to my face. That's why I took the time to do this podcast. Thanks, guys.
Caroline, the famous tennis player, Caroline Martin. Guys, well, thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
We're reviewing Challengers. It stars Zendaya and two white boys. No.
That's fair. That's enough. That's good.
Yeah. Mike Feist? Is that how you pronounce his last name? F-A-I-S-T.
I'm not sure.
Josh O'Connor.
He was also great. They were all so good. Listen, I know it's not time for initial thoughts. This was a good cast. They were acting.
Yeah.
They was acting.
Yeah.
They were acting.
They was acting that. When I was sitting in the theater, I was like, look at them up there acting.
They were acting.
The boys acting.
They were acting.
That acting is fully baked. It's ready to eat.
The film has an 89% Rotten Tomatoes. It has a 76% audience score. Both of these are very good scores.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised at that. I'm surprised that it's a lower audience score. I mean, they're both high, but I'm surprised it's lower audience. Isn't that surprising?
I don't know if it's surprising. I think 89% is pretty high, so it's not super surprising. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's too high. I just think it's like, it's hard for the audience score to be higher than that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
The movie so far has grossed $26 million worldwide. It was number one at the box office. This weekend at the domestic box office, it cost, I believe, $50 million to make. But I don't know. I think the tracking on it is doing well, so it has like staying power. We'll see. But it seems like it's doing well,
performing well. Yeah,
yeah.
And it was written by a guy that I was on an improv team with in college.
Really?
That's absurd.
Yeah, Justin.
Oh wow.
What?
Yeah, I was driving and I heard his voice being interviewed and I was like, huh? Yeah. Isn't that cool? He wrote it.
Justin, how do you say Karitzkis. His last name?
Karitzkis.
Yeah.
Karitzkis. And directed by Luca Guadagnino. What? How do you say this guy's name? Guadagnino?
You really didn't Guadagnino. Do any research before starting these podcasts.
Listen, I do not. I never research how to pronounce people's names.
Suspiria.
Not at all.
Call me by your name. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bones and call all. Bones and
ooh,
all.
Bones and all.
All right. Got it. Got it.
Okay. What else do we need to say? It's a film about essentially three tennis players, two guys and a girl. Both the guys like the same girl. There's some interactions between all of them at some point. And it's told out of order. So it's not like a linear film.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really all you need to know. We're going to spoil the movie like we always do. So if you haven't seen it, go check it out. It's a fun film.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice. Or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earnin can help you today. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Download Earnin today. That's spelled EARNIN in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earning app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earning.com/DOS for details. Earning is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
But first, we'll do initial thoughts. Caroline, would you like to start us off? Initial thoughts of the film?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I love a tennis film, period. One of my favorites would be Match Point. But, you know, as a mixed race woman to an Ivy League school who played tennis and dislocated my shoulder and kind of a tennis career ending injury, and who's dated my fair share of white men, I feel like had a very interesting perspective of this film. I, for the most part, enjoyed it. I had a couple, you know, things that I had question marks around. Why is this woman who's right out of college coaching anybody? There are just so many experts out there outside of her just True. Being beautiful. And a couple of things that I wanted to be upset about, like I felt like, you know, Zendaya was hypersexualized and we don't know anything about her outside of just tennis. But then to that argument, I felt like it was kind of equally done with the men as well. I have no backstory in either of these guys outside of them being obsessed with tennis. They also are very highly sexualized. We're seeing thighs. We're seeing them eat those churro dicks and bananas and they're all the dicks I was looking at. So I felt like it wasn't one-sided in who they were sexualizing, which I thought was really fun. I thought the music to a point was very energizing. And then everyone in the movie theater just started kind of like laughing from the da-da-da-da-da-da. Like it was like, okay, we get it. And I, you know, the only thing that I kind of had a problem with was that last moment with them kind of going for a volley and ending in an embrace, I thought was like kind of lame. And when it ended, me and my friend looked at each other and were like, huh? What? Like, I wish it had ended so much earlier and I had questions about how it was going to resolve and who she had an alliance with. Like, so there were just like details throughout that I found distracting. And I also felt like the characters, you know, weren't multifaceted people. But if I throw that, you know, into the garbage and I just say these are three people, all we know about them is that they love tennis. They're going to talk about tennis. We don't need to know about their family. We don't need to know about their hobbies. Because even Serena Williams, she loves Disney and she sings karaoke. She has a lot going on. If I get on board with them not being like multifaceted and that this is just what it is, like, I love it. I think it's really fun. And that's what I bought a ticket for. And I was on board. Could there have been more sex? Absolutely.
Wow. More sex.
There wasn't enough. We didn't see asex. We saw a hookup and then we saw a failed hookup. A hookup ended early. We saw the suggestion of a hookup and we saw sweaty car. Sex we did not see.
I guess that's true. We didn't fully see sex. That's probably
think Zendaya. About that.
That's yeah. Well, James, did you want to go? You want me to go?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun watching the movie. I thought there were a lot of. I liked watching this like this I guess weird love triangle or at least like twisted uneven love triangle. Play out. I liked the final tennis match and the way that the movie ended. I liked the like essentially the like come. Become everyone orgasming. It was nice. I thought that was nice. Like I was like, they finally did it. They didn't get to do it before. They finally did it in this last scene. And like, I don't know. I normally hate jumping around in time this much. I was fully on board with all of that. The music, I agree. That I thought it was like, ooh, this is so fun. And then it got to a point where where sometimes it would just be like, I guess the music just wants me to feel this right now. Like, I guess they just want, it's not so much what is being said, because, or this could also just be the, like, I am in my late 30s, but it was so loud in the movie theater also, where it was just like, I don't know what they're saying. All I hear is synth and whatever. Like, that's all I hear is the that over everything. And yeah, and then in terms of the, I had sort of knew going in that I saw some clip online where they were like, there's not as much sex in this movie as you think there's going to be. And so I was expecting not as much sex. And so to me, it was like, there's more sex in this than I thought. There's a little bit more sex in this than I thought. There's a little bit more skin than I thought I was going to see, you know? So, I don't know. Fun ultimately, and excited to talk about it, you know, in more detail.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I think I really love this movie. I mean, it's crazy. It's like, it's fun. I feel like it delivers on its premise for the most part. Like, yeah, some of the characters aren't like fully explored, but I also think that was kind of the point. Like, these people are pretty shallow in a certain aspect. Though there is a whole family thing that's kind of ignored, but anyway, we'll get into that. I thought like the acting was so good from everyone. People who have listened to me on this podcast know I'm not like,
don't say it, don't do it. Don't do it. I feel like Gerard would say something like, I just need everybody to know that is Jonathan Braylock's voice that is currently, that is about to say whatever I'm slander big, he's about to say.
This is not slander. This is my own opinion.
Slanderous opinion that he has.
I'm a big fan of Zendaya as a person. I'm not the biggest fan of her as an actor, but I think that when she's in the right role, she's very good. And like, I think this was a really good role for her.
Bray feels about Zendaya the same way that Kendrick feels about Drake. It's that line, I like you with the melodies. I don't like you when you get deep, or whatever that line was. That's how Bray feels about Zendaya.
She's so good. Go. Like, go honestly, you should just like jump off a diving board. You're It's like anyone who doesn't like the new Beyonce, it's like, we don't need to even like hear your
you
thoughts.
Don't even need
that. Sure. Keep it to yourself.
But yeah, I mean, this was really fun. I really liked this movie. I thought like the score was insane and really engaging, and yeah, they overdid it, but again, I also think that's the point. I don't know, like, I was kind of here for it, and the ending I don't understand really at all, but we'll definitely talk about
love
it.
The ending.
I mean, it is weird because like so much of the ending actually was brilliant, and really good, and then the final moment, I also was like, huh? Wait, I don't know what it's supposed to say, other than I guess they just were kind of super into tennis.
Yeah.
I don't actually know.
Just into that tennis.
It was just super into tennis, they but like not really, because like they did something that isn't in the spirit of tennis. So I don't know. Anywho, all right. Let's talk about it. This movie you know what? I need to pull up the, because like, this movie goes.
I don't quite remember the order, but it starts
back and forth and back and
in
forth.
This game that it ends on, right? It starts in the
it
same
definitely
game.
Starts with the game.
Okay.
Yeah. It starts with the game.
We just
it's
jumped
like,
back to it so quick that I was like, wait, are we? At first, I was like, oh, are we going to then continue to move forward after this? But then it didn't.
I feel like, didn't it like start like, I don't remember what she was wearing, but I thought it started like maybe at like the US Open or something. And then something like on a large scale didn't go well. And then they went back to New Rochelle like later. I thought it started.
I could be wrong. I believe it's like it starts very, very quickly, very short scene of this end game where they're like both there and like looking at her and looking at each other. And then it's like, and then it goes like 2 weeks earlier. And then we're at the, then we're at what you're talking about, which is like, it's the US Open or, and he's like, he's about to face this guy and that guy is scared. But then we cut to the hotel and we realize he's actually lost that match. And she's like watching like a news program that's like talking about the fact that he's lost a lot of matches recently. Like he's trying to complete this Grand Slam, but it doesn't look good for him. And he might retire soon because he's aging. We realize that they're married. They have a kid. And that's his mom who's there. That's his mom or her mom?
I thought it was her mom.
It's her mom.
Yeah, I thought it was her mom. Yeah. Okay.
I think, yeah.
So we don't know, we kind of never learn his backstory much at all.
Mm-mm. No.
No.
We know that the boys both went to, they've been doing
boarding
this. Since school. But yeah, I feel like that's all we know about their family, though. Mm-hmm. Or about their childhood, I guess I should say.
Well, we eventually learn that the other dude is rich. Like, his parents are wealthy. And they did that sly. There was like a sly realization of that. It was like, it was actually like in the dialogue when they go to this party, like they're at a party in like a kind of like a big mansion with a big backyard. And then there was like a line where it was like, oh, this isn't like my parents' house. And he's like, yeah, his parents' house is bigger. And he's like, no. And then he's like, well, yes, it is. But that's not what I meant, you know.
But that mansion was Zendaya's family's home, right?
That's what I thought.
It seemed like it was her party because they said great party to her.
It was definitely her party.
Later. Yeah. And so seemingly they were, it was.
And but then later on, she says that she couldn't afford to go to boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, so when did you get rich? I mean, I knew they had the Adidas promotions by the time they saw her for the first time.
Yeah.
But did they move to this? Did they move to this whole giant place after the sponsorship?
Yeah,
I was a little shaky on that.
No idea. Yeah.
It was interesting, though, because when this all started and it was like, it was clear that her and I believe Art is the character's name, the blonde boy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
She hated Patrick immediately. she was instantly not giving
challenged.
Him his challenged by his energy. That's a great way to put it, given the title of the film. But she was immediately challenged by his energy, even though she clearly doesn't get over whatever that is that he was giving her that she was drawn to. She never gets over that clearly.
So when we first meet these characters, it just feels like, okay, the first thing they establish is like these two guys really care about what she thinks, and we can't tell what she cares about. Like that initial scene, and it was brilliant. They repeated it at the end of the movie as well, but like I believe it was in the beginning of the movie too, where like everybody's like they start playing and everyone's like going back and forth following the ball, and she is either just staring straight ahead or just staring at one of them. Like she's like not following the ball. She's just kind of looking at them, and it's like completely off rhythm, like looking at the other person, you know, and it's just like, she's just looking at them.
Yeah.
That was fun. And then we kind of see like in their marriage, like Art is like very submissive, you know, like he's kind of listening to what she's saying, but there's probably some frustration built up. You don't really know what it is. But they have a family, and I was also trying to do the math of like when they got a kid or like when she agreed to do that.
I mean, that was a little like,
oh yeah,
a bob does not make you seem like you have a child.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that felt kind of like
a bob.
Sure, she's wearing cashmere now. She has a Kurt bob, but I was kind of like, this does not seem like a child, you know. But I will accept this history.
Yeah,
it really does.
But also timeline wise, now I'm a little confused because they only went back as far as 12 years.
No, 13 was the first
13
one.
Was the first one. Mm. And then they don't like, how old was the kid? I don't remember. Was the kid like,
the kid is probably three or four.
Okay, three or four. Okay. All right. It's not as strong.
I'm thinking the timeline is We met them when they were probably 14. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, no.
No, because it was right before they were like, they were going to school the next year. They were going away to college the next year.
They were going to college.
So we met them when they were, so they were supposed to be 30 when this movie started?
Yeah.
It's tough. And it's a blessing and a curse. Zendaya looks so young. She so does, young. She's actually 27, but she looks 20. She looks so young. And so when, and you know, I felt this way about Jennifer Lawrence too, when she was starting to, like, they were putting her in movies and she was like, you know, dating Bradley Cooper and freaking Christian Bale. And it was just like, what's going on? Like, now this movie, all of the guys seemed like they were her age, because they were, they're young as well. But then I was just like, it was hard for me to be like, she's 30. Like, I don't know. Like, to Caroline's point, I was like, when I saw the kid, I was like, I was like, I don't know. She looks like a little kid.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm like, whose kid is that? Maybe she's coaching that kid. Maybe that kid is, you know, going to play tennis.
I bought into that, but it did, but it was clearly, it did, I did clearly believe the age of the men more than Zendaya for whatever reason. I still bought that she was,
she
like,
looks so young.
She, you know, she had a kid and that was her baby and stuff, but it was like, yeah, I don't know what it is about that.
She looks young and she has a young energy to her. I don't know how else to put it. Like, her like, because she's so soft spoken, and like, and then when she has the anger, like, she has this defiant anger, which is like really powerful, but it still feels young.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
Yeah. I mean, it's also probably that, like, she, for as old as she is, she's still playing teenagers, you know? And like, and so it probably has a lot to do with, like, she hasn't had a lot of literal experience being her age, you know?
And she does in this movie as well, right? Yeah. For, and like, she's like a teenager, she's in college, like a young adult. And like, that's where it's, you know, it, I don't know, it works better, I think. But anyway, and then we also get a quick glimpse of Patrick. I think this is before we know that he's rich.
Yes.
So like, he's but like going to some hotel.
The amount of sympathy they built for me for this
guy. I know. That's why it was done really well.
When he's looking at that Dunkin' Donuts bagel, and like, you can feel the tension between him and that bagel. It was like, oh, this is, I felt so bad for him.
No, I felt angry. I was like, why is this random woman giving this white guy half of her bagel? When does that happen? And then we have to see like a cutback of like, she was there at Wimbledon or whatever. And it's like, what does that give us? And I'm being nitpicky only because we have time to kill on a podcast. I enjoyed this movie. I really liked it.
Yeah.
But like, there were like little things like that where I was like, you know what? That's just silly. It's fun.
Well, I was wondering, Caroline, if you sniffed out, like, because I'm interested in your thoughts on this guy and like, the attraction that, let's say, Zendaya's character has towards him, because he is kind of like, when we first meet him, he's like heavily flirting with this hotel attendant, you know, who's like a older middle-aged woman, you know, and she's like, you need a credit card. And he's basically trying to like sweet talk her. And he's like leaning forward and he's like, has his face so close to her face and it's like so obvious what he's doing. But it's,
I thought he was kind of grimy, but like, you know, I'm thinking about that scene after her party where they sneak away to sit down by that lake or whatever, that body of water. And they're talking about their philosophies in tennis. And it's like such a clear setup of like opposites.
Yeah.
And like, you know, though I thought her kind of poetic interpretation of tennis being a relationship was like, I thought like a kind of a crazy line, I was like, oh, okay, girl, maybe that's for a play, but for her to come for him so immediately and be like, well, you don't play tennis, you don't understand tennis. So it felt like, I don't know, there's some mystique to someone being, I don't know, the opposite of like, you know, who would be good for you and who would be good for her is like sitting right next to him. So I think that, you know, kind of setting that up felt like good to me. That felt kind of compelling.
Yeah. It was kind of a classic, like bad boy, good boy situation. Right. Like, And he's really forward. He's the one, you know, who initiates them going to meet to see mm-hmm. her play the game. And they both kind of fall in love with her, not just for her looks, but I guess the way that she plays tennis. And then they're doing this thing the whole night, which I do have not even close to what happens with these guys, but I do have a little bit of a shared experience of being with a friend and like knowing that me and my friend were flirting with the same girl on the same on the same night and being like, yeah. This girl is going to pick one of us, you know, and like being mm-hmm. like, this is weird, but like, I don't know, here we go, you know?
Yeah. But like, you know, to how aggressive and forward he is, like when they first meet, I feel like, you know, for me, I keep thinking about their relationship kind of being tennis. And like one of the pieces of feedback that Zendaya said to Patrick was like, you're so strong in the first set and then you think you're going to win in the second set, you give up. And like, that's kind of what happened in their relationship. He came on real strong, thought he had her in the bag, and then fumbled hard in their relationship. Or I don't know, you could debate who won that fight. But yeah, I feel like it was kind of mapping on that, maybe.
Absolutely.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. So like this whole party scene, I mean, I just thought it was done so well. I mean, this is kind mm-hmm. of the classic, this is the iconic, I guess, scene, right, of the movie or of the trailer where they've been flirting with her at this party, which they've won, you know, so they're feeling high on themselves because they won doubles. They have a match the next day where they're facing each other. There's mm-hmm. like some conversation about Patrick going to lose on purpose. Which I couldn't quite follow the logic of that. Did anybody catch that?
Well, I don't know how true this is for where his path goes, but he does. One of the lines he says is like, "Well, I like playing when we do doubles because I'm playing with you. Like, I like doing that, but like, I don't care about." It seemed like he was like, "I don't care about tennis," you know. But then as it goes on, it's like, "Well, no, you also want to go pro right away." So I'm confused. I'm confused by the sentiment of being like, I'll lose tomorrow. It doesn't matter. When like, if anything, it matters more if you're not going to, if you're trying to go straight to pros after this, then you can't just be losing matches willy nilly. But that was that was what I thought he said. I thought he said, I don't care about this that much. I'll let you have it. It doesn't matter as much to me.
Yeah. And I might be misremembering this, but I feel like Art was also saying like, don't beat me. Like so bad. So there was like an understanding that Patrick was better than him. Maybe I'm not sure.
Yes. No, he did say that. And then later it felt like they hearken back to that when we finally get the scenes right before they play this match that we've been jumping back to when he says like, what if I can't beat him or whatever, you know, like it almost feels like he has sort of mm-hmm. always felt like he's not as good as him.
Yeah.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they're like flirting with Zendaya's character. What's her character's name?
It's Tashi.
Tashi.
It is cute. That's a cute name. I love that name.
Tashi. Yeah.
Like Coco.
And they like do this thing, this like fun thing where they like, basically Patrick invites her back to their hotel, and then they're like at the hotel like waiting, and Patrick like Art's like, there's not, she's not coming.
Unbelievable that Art thought that she was, or Patrick thought that she was coming, but they mm-hmm. let that room be that messy.
I was thinking that too.
I couldn't believe, I was like, when he said she might come, I was like, if y'all don't clean up this damn,
it's gross.
I could tell it smelled in there. I was like,
and also truly one of the most believable parts of the movie, because it's like, that's 100% what boys would do.
Yeah.
At that age, 100%.
Gross.
Not realize that they should be cleaning this room until the person knocks on the door and then they go, oh shoot, this room's an absolute mess. We gotta clean this up. I thought this scene was incredible. It was great. I don't know. How did you guys feel?
Scene.
I was like,
great scene.
I loved this scene, like from my loins. I got a couple thoughts. Before we talk about the scene, this is the first moment, I think, of the most important reoccurring visual of this movie. Okay. Dem shorts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She is wearing shorts to the gods. Her legs look amazing. Every time she was wearing athletic shorts, I was like, damn, her legs look so good. I was like so into it and I loved it. And I was like, the movie should be called Dem Shorts. Aside from that, the idea of, you know, a woman being this desired object that is then kind of coercing these men into making out. And it sounded like they had kind of sexual encounters with each other previously, like talking about masturbating or whatever, but not kissing each other. And then the way that she was like kind of watching them, like, I made that happen, was like so fantastic. And then on top of it, being a Black woman watching these two white men kiss, even though it's like, you know, it's not predatory. It's very like they all want to be there. They're all doing it. They're all participating. They're having this fun pre-college iconic sexual moment. I just kind of loved the amount of power that she had, because I feel like in kind of a three-way situation, I think most women would be kind of like in between these two dudes and kind of at their disposal. And she was like not, and then ended it when she wanted to. So I loved that. I thought it was dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It was like, it was so, yeah, it was a very sexually intense scene. She like played it perfectly. It was so fun. Like she was so calm and in control. Like they were, even Patrick, who like has this kind of, does have a very like big dick energy throughout most of the movie. They both, even him, like still felt like he was like, kind of going with like what, you know, like following her lead a little bit. And I thought it was so funny when she just like, she like slowly like goes onto the bed, you know, and they're like looking, they're like waiting for her, I think, to say like which one of them. Oh, right. Cause she does the thing of like, we're out of beer. Yeah. We're out of beer. And I love it. So it's just like, they're all like, okay, now's the moment. She's going to tell one of us to go get beer and the other one gets to hook up with her. And then instead she just goes to sit on the bed, you know, and then just like, you're gonna join me? And then they're like, which one? And then Patrick's like, well, I'll go. And then Art's like, well, I'll go. And they both sit next to her and she kisses
like, how
one
cool
and the other.
Is that?
I mean, that was so cool.
Like when I think of myself in, what is she's in high school, we're supposed to believe, like a senior in high school with that much swagger?
At the most 18.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know.
With my braces watching Sailor Moon, can you imagine?
Oh, he even said, I think it was Patrick who had interacted with her or at least seen her in real life before. In that, when her, in her first scene, he says something like, but you haven't seen her in person. And so it was so, the dynamic, like her having all of the power in the situation was like clear from the jump. And so seeing how she enacts it, I thought it was great. I thought it was awesome. And there was, and the refrain that she keeps having of like, I don't want to be a homewrecker between the two of them. I found that interesting to track as well, you know. I don't know if I wanted more than the like little touches of like, okay, they make out in this scene, obviously duped, you know, they're eating the phallic foods. You know, I don't know if I wanted there to be more between them sexually or not, or if like, or if having this, the amount that they showed was all that we needed to see, you know?
Well, okay, wait. Quick question. The homewrecker thing, was that about them or was that about her perception of them having girlfriends?
I thought that was about them. I thought that was about the two of them.
Me too. I thought it was about them. Yeah. In their relationship. Yeah.
Okay. Because they did talk. She did they did mention like, oh, you have a girlfriend. He's like, no, I'm in between girlfriends, or, you know, there were those comments as well. And then I know later on she was like, I did wind up being a homewrecker, but I thought that was supposed to be like, that's not the way that I meant it at first, but that is what it became.
And it always, I don't remember the first context of it, because I feel like I think the first time it came up, they were at the party, right? And then the second time it came up was at it was in the room. It felt like that first time when she said it, it seemed like it was like, I don't want to pick between the two of you because I'm not a homewrecker, meaning like she would destroy.
I don't want your friendship if I decide which person that I like. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
But I really like James's point about like the possibility of like, should we have seen more, I don't know, kind of romance between Patrick and Art. I mean, we had we'll get to it, the sauna scene and the churro scene, but like, it did feel like, you know, they had many forms of love for each other.
There were two other small moments that they highlighted. One was during the it's fine.
Highlighted.
Yeah, during the tennis match before this scene, when Patrick throws his hand on Art's thigh and they like zoom in on it, you know. And then later at Stanford, before the churros, when he like pulls in the chair close, and
they're so
it was
close.
Like, okay, all right, I feel like I'm seeing breadcrumbs of something, you know, but it was like, I don't know if I need more or if I'm just desiring more now because of what they've set up.
Yeah.
I will say like, and again, it hasn't been exactly like this, but like this kind of friendship felt very familiar to me. So there was a way in which I really enjoyed the fact that they were like, there was like homoeroticism between them without it actually being like, it's like, it's more like the being like, hey, we're comfortable with our own sexuality to the point that we're okay. And we do love each other as like friends so much. Like there's a way in which like women can do that all the time, right? And there's and it's usually not commented on by any. It's not commented on by other women. It's not commented on by men. It doesn't feel weird. But when men do it, it's always like, oh, they must. It's like, oh, are you secretly gay, kind of thing, as opposed to just like, no, like we're just like there is a fraternal love here that we're like okay touching each other and being comfortable, and like there is the kind of like. It's a weird thing too, because I feel like Patrick uses his sexuality so much, it's also a way of him trying to intimidate Art and Art like stepping up to that and being like, I'm not going to back down from your, you know?
Yeah.
There's also that element of it too, where it's like Art is kind of always trying to match Patrick and be like, I'm not scared of you. You're not better than me.
You know? I mean, and honestly, that's why that whole final, the tiebreaker match, that's what makes that so strong, I think, for Zendaya. seeing how much it amps up Art. It's like, oh yeah, there it is.
Right. We're like bouncing around, but we see the fact that like then we like jump forward, you know, a year, I think, and we realize that Patrick and because Zendaya says like she says, I don't want to be a homewrecker, but she's like, hey, whoever wins the match gets to date me, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm serious. And he's like, okay, but do you want me to win? And she's like, I, you know, if you win, you get to date me. If you don't win, you don't, you know. And then like we jump a year later and it's like that was true, like Patrick won the match and he started dating her and they're still dating. And Art's
but also
clearly
like,
upset.
Yeah. But I just feel like that's such a fun like framing for it. But it's like obviously she's going to do whatever she wants to do, and she keeps coming back to him. So he does feel like the love of her life,
right?
Who she just can't stick with because he's a loser.
Yeah, and seemingly like that I mean, I guess she just, well, no, he had seen her in person once before. And I'm now just sort of wondering if like she had this negative opinion of him as a like spoiled rich kid, like before even any of those scenes that we saw with them together. Cause she's so standoffish. She just like does not like him instantly, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, I'm now just wondering, like, was she always just like, I don't want to be with this guy. He's too whatever. He doesn't even care about.
Are you talking about Patrick?
Yeah, Patrick. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't even care. Oh. He doesn't even care about tennis. He does. You know what I mean? Like all of those things. Like, was she always just sort of like, I don't want to deal with this because I have my own shit that I'm trying to do. But she just she just kept being pulled back to him for whatever.
It felt like an opposites attract, like a mm-hmm. like a. You know, I think she's clearly very like sexually attracted to him. And mm-hmm. there was like the kind of it felt very much like freaking Streetcar Named Desire, honestly.
Oh, you know? Sure.
Right. Like Estella, like that animal magnetism of like, how do yeah. you like, oh, he's such a brute. But also, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. I'm attracted.
Let's have sex on this. In the middle of this storm.
This windy storm. There's no rain. Just wind.
I will say the argument they had, I was actually kind of on Patrick's side.
Me
in
too.
In that scene?
Yeah, because they're trying to have this intimate moment. And she's like coaching him about tennis while he's like, while they're literally, she's like straddling him. And he's like, can you not talk about tennis right now?
And not even general tennis, but like, I got some notes for you. Let me grab your dick and yeah. get that, but notes, notes, notes. It's like, this is not the time or the place.
I was on Zendaya's side. I was on Zendaya's side because he clearly didn't get.
What?
No, because he clearly didn't get her. He didn't get her in them first scenes, and he didn't get
what?
If he can't talk about tennis and fuck her at the same time, he don't understand her.
No,
that's the kind of man she needs. She need a man oh who can talk God. About tennis, who can stay hard. While... No, but...
oh God,
that's who she's looking for. A tennis talking sex machine. No, but I think his point at the end of that scene of like, we are peers.
Yeah,
right. I mean, obviously, I feel like that was like her annoyance when they first met. Like they're at her party.
Exactly.
She has the Adidas deal and he's talking to her like they're equals. And perhaps her rank is higher and she's got some publicity, but it does feel like people around the same age grinding at a really high level. That it's not too crazy for them to be talking like that. And she will not allow it. And if they're in a right. relationship, that doesn't feel reciprocal and like healthy. So I'm on Patrick's side.
Yeah. And she, and like, as we flash forward and know, you know, the relationship she has with Art, it does like, mm-hmm. it seemed like everything he said was actually absolutely correct. It was like, if you want somebody who's just going to do everything you say, mm-hmm. you know, and you and literally coach, and like that's literally what winds up happening. It's mm-hmm. like, take him, like that's who he is, that's not who I am, I'm not gonna be your errand boy, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets pissed at him, so he's pissed at her, so he doesn't come to the match. This thing is freaking crazy. Their accident is so brutal.
I couldn't watch. Mm-hmm. I looked away.
I had to look away. It was awful. It also came out of, even though we knew earlier in the movie, they had said in the future, she was like, I wish my healing
see her scar.
Was as quick
I think
as yours.
I think before we even really see her, they do a close up of her scar.
Yeah.
Or early on in the movie anyway.
Yeah, they definitely do. And so this was brutal. But then like, she's, you know, in the trainer's office and crying, obviously, and slowly coming to the realization that her career, I don't know if she knew at that point that her career was over, but certainly that mm-hmm. it was going to take a huge detour. And then he comes in, having heard about it, Patrick, and she like screams at him to get out, which is understandable, even if it was a little bit like come on, like he had nothing to do with this.
Yeah, but it's the question of if, you know, if she was reckless or extremely angry because of that interaction. But I mean, you can't blame someone else for how you play.
Yeah, but then Art didn't stand up for his homie. He didn't even say, he could have said, my man could have said.
He did the opposite.
Let me go talk to him or like any kind of anything. He just.
Or just calmly been like, hey, like, just give her some
anything.
Give her some space.
He was like, get the fuck out. Get the fuck out, Patrick. I was like, oh.
Oh, shit. Yeah, where did that come from? I was like, ooh.
When he did that, I was just like, I honestly, it felt very, and you know, this is in the lexicon. I never really say it, but it was, I was like, this is a simp move, bro.
Well, yeah, he had been planting seeds being a jerk. Yeah.
It was just like, all right. And so I guess we were led to believe that literally that was the end of the relationship. They didn't really talk from there. And it was the beginning of her and, or a kind of the beginning of her and our relationship. I guess they didn't officially start dating yet. They were like friends.
I had like one thought about this injury. Like, to know where we end and like Art and Tashi being on that like massive billboard. And for, you know, people asking for her autograph and stuff, I just didn't really like believe that for someone who was performing at an excellent, fantastic, incredible level college. I kind of wish it was like just the beginning of her like at a big tournament or something. And to me, that would give more credibility of like why she would maybe legitimately be a coach or maybe how she would have that recognition. And people, advertisers would still want to advertise with her. But like, I don't know how that world works. Maybe, you know, these college superstars, you know, have that much, I don't know, that much notoriety. But like, to me, I was kind of like, oh, I wish she was like a little further in her career to really like get that icon status.
I actually just have a question because I don't know the sport that well. But I bought into it because it was like he had pulled her into whatever he was doing. Art had pulled her into whatever he was doing. And I had just imagined that like he had somehow skyrocketed and she was the face alongside him for that. And it just seemed like.
Sure. But aren't you talking about that earlier, Caroline? Like the fact that she had so many deals even.
Which part are you talking about? Is that the part you're talking about?
I'm talking about like at the end where there's this massive huge billboard. And I'm like, at that point, her star has faded. You know, sure, her husband can be like, and she's like, you know, kind of being the puppet master and maybe got herself in there because she's not done with her career being over. But like, you know, we're not seeing.
Why is
like,
her face as big as his when she only has the one client?
Yeah,
like she would need to have. In order to reach that status, she would need to have like ushered in a lot of different careers. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it just gave me some questions to think about when I saw that, when I was like, oh, I don't know if that, I don't understand that. I think. Yeah.
What it did give me it gave me that I liked, and this has nothing to do with all of that later stuff, but in that first scene when she writes the S next to game changers, it was like that did so much for me in that one little moment that I was like, I don't even, maybe that's why I didn't even think twice about how it could have happened in that, in such a short span of time.
She's like, I'm in this.
Yeah. I appreciated like all that it told me about her and her relationship to what's going on in that one moment that the rest of it, I was just like, ah, whatever.
Yeah. No, I like that. That's a good pitch. I like that.
So then we see like, oh, I thought this kid, Art, like, I thought he did so well in that scene with them at the like Applebee's or whatever they were, like that like restaurant.
Yeah.
And he was like so clearly in love with her. And she was like, when she said like, are you still in love with me? And he's like, and then he like says something else. And it was just like, I was like, oh man, this dude, he's got it bad, man. He's got it bad.
That was so cute.
Yeah. And I thought it was a nice touch when they started making out in this empty parking lot, and then they hear like the trash being spilled in the thing, and it's like so loud.
It was
and
a literal like, oh, horror movie moment. How loud that!
But I was like, damn, that's so real, though. That's like, you know, you think you're, you kind of feel like you're alone, and then something happens. You're like, oh right, we're fully in public.
Yeah. Yeah, but that makes me think about like, no, really small point, like. Almost like watching a sporting event and how every like piece of real estate has an advertiser on it throughout this movie. Sure. I felt like I saw so many advertisers, so obvious. Yeah. And Applebee's being one of them we love. But that scene, I thought that was so, so, so cute. I like got a little teary-eyed and kind of like, man, it's so cute when like you're young and you like on a date and you're like, we gonna kiss, we not gonna kiss, we gonna kiss. And I was like, I love that. It's just so sweet. Yeah.
And I'm and talking about it now, I'm just realizing that it mirrors the scene that she has with Patrick later in the storm. But it's like they do a little kiss. They do a little kiss in this scene and they fuck in the other scene. Like it's the two sides of the same relationship.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. We never actually see her. And Art have much outside of that initial
have the likely boring, extremely boring sex they had for 6 years or however long they
were. I feel like the only physical connection they have is like later when he like cowers below her, like holding him, which feels very like, I don't know, a visual of how they relate to each other versus like carnal sex with her and Patrick.
Yeah.
She literally was like, he said, hold me. And she was like, okay. She's like, oh, this
like,
is
fine.
So,
and then right after that, so she was sad. Like, I got to go fuck Patrick. She left. This was all done out of order, but she certainly left that scene of holding him to go have sex with Patrick, which is like,
God. I get,
absolutely. And she needed it. She needed to.
Okay, this is jumping around, but like they did like, because at a certain point, I thought that sauna scene was great, right? Yeah. He comes into the sauna, you know, and we realize that they're about to play each other. Like it seemed like they were never going to see each other on opposite sides of the boards. He's, you know, he's like, oh, you're never going to make it to the end of this. But clearly he does. We already know. And so he goes in. After I think having already seen her at the hotel where he had like some Tinder date, which again, I mean, this guy, man, this guy literally getting a Tinder date just so that he could sleep in somebody's hotel.
That is so sad.
Also being the rudest person alive, like walking away from this date to go talk to her and then coming back and she's like, what was that? And he's like, oh, and then just kisses her.
It worked. It worked, and it then went, he was still at so her angry. House a week later. It was like, I'm staying at her nothing. What
that's crazy. And you know, going back to that sauna scene, I had a hard time knowing when the sauna scene was, but I think like the sauna scene was in New Rochelle.
Yes.
And so Patrick has the audacity to go into a sauna without his towel around himself, knowing in the past that he had sex with this man's wife in Atlanta.
Right.
Like, that's pretty toxic. And like,
oh my God.
I am only thinking about that now. I didn't think about that when I was watching the movie, but like, like he's just kind of trolling around, kind of like poking at Art, which is like really sad.
And then they just show us like also Art knew and still continued the rest of his life, like never addressed it. Like,
well, kind of like twice, right? Yeah. Like the Atlanta, he had an idea. And then for the other one, like he moves from their bedroom to sleeping into their children's bed. So it's like he knew she wasn't home.
That's the thing that was crazy was that she like Patrick goes to say, oh, you never told him about Atlanta. But then when we see Atlanta, well, we see what happens. Yeah. But then we see it from his perspective. And it was like, no, he 100% knew about it.
Yeah. He knows.
Yeah. Also, how did she not know that he knew? She was the most obvious about it that you could possibly be. It's like, you're making out with this dude in the lobby of the hotel that you're staying at and then just disappearing?
Yeah.
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 Oh,
and
my
And he's a notable tennis player. So like people are looking at you too. You have eyes on you too. Especially that brightly lit of a restaurant. You're not in no dimly lit seedy bar or something.
Yeah. But maybe they have an arrangement. Like, remember that line from the argument that Patrick and Tashi have before her injury where she's like, who said I'm looking for love?
Right.
So maybe she's never looking for love.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I'm sorry. Some of her lines were crazy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They were crazy.
No, they were. I mean, she was a wild character.
Yeah.
I think if they did have an arrangement, there is no way that the arrangement allowed for her to sleep with Patrick. Right, like
absolutely,
it's like the worst person she could be sleeping with.
But Art was just letting it happen.
I rescind my point.
Just let it happen.
But also, he did because when she comes back and he's sleeping with the kid, that's in the New Rochelle, right? This woman went and was like got in the back of the car, and he's like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "I told them you're my Uber driver," and it was like, "Woman, you."
Dustiest,
it's like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you're
it's
Uber
a freaking.
To
there's
where?
A hurricane outside. It's like you ain't being slick. What? Also, when she came back and saw that, I was just like, "Man, this is so." But I think that he's like trying to just. He's just blotting it out. Like, no, maybe this didn't happen, and then like, which makes the end so powerful, I guess. But
But I think it like speaks to what you were saying about Art being kind of like submissive, where like I feel like, it's more common to see like some guy who's really like really thinks highly of himself is like, I cheat all the time, I leave breadcrumbs, he's not gonna do anything or she's not gonna do anything.
Right.
You know? And I feel like Zendaya's character is kind of that, where she's like, Art, he's not gonna do anything.
Yeah, and he kind of wasn't, right? Like, he, it's not like we got a scene, and I imagine there was no conversation. It's not like he woke up the next morning and was like, where were you? He, like, doesn't even ask the question,
Yeah.
And even, and then, so to that point, so I'm now thinking about the way he reacts to the line that I said earlier in the podcast. You guys remember the line that I said?
Wait, it wasn't a line,
The way that he reacts is just kind of like, fuck off, right? That's what he says, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And is that like, is he saying like, of course I knew, you don't gotta, is it like, don't rub it in my face right now? You know what I mean? Like, is that more what he's saying to him than?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think the actor will know what choice that they were making, but I feel like it was more like that. It wasn't like, it was like, you're trying to rub it in my face, right?
It's not like, I can't believe it. You had sex. You know, it wasn't that reaction. It was,
No.
I never thought about it like that. That's a good, like, I thought it was, I can't believe it. But now breaking it down, he's aware of what's happening. How dare you bring it up now to make me feel like I didn't genuinely win this thing. That's so important to me. And that's like the biggest... I don't know, the worst thing you could do to me right now.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly right, Caroline, where it's like, he's like, I am actually trying to play. And you doing that is like, it's both you trying to get my head and also you trying to say like, you're throwing this match. And it's like, I'm not going to let you throw this match. You know what I mean? I'll throw this match point right now. I'm not going to let you have,
Exactly.
F you, screw you. Okay, let's tie it up.
We're going to really play. Yeah,
we're going to play for real.
Yeah.
Like,
I love this. This makes so much more sense because when Zendaya is like, I was like kind of confused why she was excited. It makes sense because she's like, whoa, Art has his fire. He has it back or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe would be my pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. I think so.
I still don't quite understand the like jumping over the net embrace thing, but
that was the intercourse. That was the that was at that moment they were doing They were all three of them were connected. Okay, so like so, art. So yeah, so art was penetrating. Art.
Wait,
art
what? What are you doing?
Yeah, art was penetrating. Patrick was penetrating. No. I don't know which.
What is this?
But they were all that at that moment. That was the moment they were all.
Oh, because it's a relationship.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Fucking, literally fucking in that scene.
No, I'm Googling how often do tennis players collide at the net? As if. Well, my computer's really slow, so we'll never know.
I did look up the rule. If you're a player and you jump over on the other person's court, that's a penalty and you lose that point.
Yeah.
So Art lost that point, but Tessa was like, well, who won? And I was like, well, we don't know. Cause it's like, this is the first point of the last game.
But
weren't they in a tie break? So we didn't know which point they were in.
Yeah.
I think it was the first point of the tie break. Cause it was like he was up 6-5 and then he was up 40-30. So he was at match point then, but then they tied it and then he lost. And then they were tied 6-6. And so then they were like, this is the tie break. Mm-hmm. And maybe they only play one tie break game, I guess, at six when you have 2-6.
I forget how that works. I feel like they alternate serving.
Yeah. I think they alternate servings for like 7 points.
Yeah. That sounds right. And we just don't have context of like which point they were at, but it felt like match point because they were so aggressive in that moment. But
yeah, they were definitely playing it like it was the last point.
I think Zendaya was Zendaya's pegging.
Oh my God. Enough of this.
Will you get out of here?
All right.
Get out of here.
I feel like we talked about everything again, the family of it all. It did feel a little bit like cosplay, and maybe that is the point in the movie. But I was just kind of like, I don't know. I don't. This kid feels neglected at the very least.
Absolutely. There's that point where Zendaya's like, I have a child, you know, to convince.
I know. Do you care about her?
Yeah. It seemed like she was just using the fact that the kid that we have, you know, like, it's like, what do you mean? What's your kid's name? Tell me right now your kid's name and how.
In her bob.
Yeah.
Wig.
That's how I could tell time. I was like, okay, her hair is very long. Her hair is medium long. She's got the bob. That's how it was kind of, because her face looked so beautifully youthful the whole time. But yeah, there was just one other moment, like music wise, that I found kind of like jarring. I think it was during like a makeout scene. It wasn't the da na na na. It was like angelic, like young boys singing that I was kind of like.
You're right.
Like kind of that like church kind of.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
Music, and I was like, huh, that's an interesting choice.
I don't remember this. There was a boys choir doing one of the makeout scenes.
I was like, oh, it's like a boys choir. It may have been when they were in the car because it was like towards the end. And then one other thing that I just was like, I loved the umpire's like vibe. That's just like not what I was expecting from kind of a New Rochelle, like tennis association. And then I just saw this thing on Instagram, which I don't know if it's true, but I think it's true, where the umpire is played by Zendaya's assistant, and he like was on set, and they were like, "We love your vibe, like you go be the ump," which
incredible.
I think is really cool.
It's so funny because he had like such a such an interesting voice and presence about him. I actually really liked him.
Yeah,
he really stood out. You know,
he did with his gold glasses, and I was like, okay, because I feel like you don't. You know, normally see people of color in that place.
Yeah.
And then another point that makes me think of when I was listening to the writer's interview and they were asking like kind of where did this idea come from or what was inspo. He was talking about the Serena Williams match against Coco where Serena got like a penalty or something because the umpire believed that she was with her eyes communicating with her coach and like getting information. Mm-hmm. And so the writer, Justin, was thinking about that moment where you want to communicate with someone about something really important, like infidelity or how this match is going, but you can't, which I thought was really interesting.
Right. Oh, that is interesting. Yeah. Also, all the penalty stuff was, it was like a fun little, because I don't know if I've ever, I didn't really know about that. Like you lose a point for just for cursing, but it was mm-hmm. it was just so interesting how they played it and like how they knew when it was going to happen or whatever. I don't know. It was, that was cool. Also, so much tennis racket smashing. Like everybody was mad at their tennis racket. My God.
Yeah, they're expensive. I mean, wow, show off your privilege. Damn.
I feel like we saw like six different people smash their tennis racket.
Did Art have like extra clothes in his bags too? So instead of putting back on a sweaty shirt, he would just put on a new, perfectly clean. Yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah. There's too much money. How big those bags are? They got like 19 rackets, 4 shirts.
Yeah. Which that makes sense because it's like balls. It's like you're going to sit. You don't want to sit in that sweat. So you take the shirt off and then you're like, you don't want to put a sweaty shirt back on.
It stood out so much. Because Patrick didn't have look at him put on that pristine white shirt.
And then Patrick was wearing like plaid shorts.
My man was in boxers. Like, my man was wearing Hanes cotton blend boxers.
No breathing.
Bro, that sauna scene like, when he was like, you don't like, or you saying I don't matter? And he's like, yeah. Like I thought like Art came at him so hard and so I was just like, damn, you. I don't know. I felt like he roasted him there.
He really
in like
did.
A way that was like pretty hard to do to roast somebody who's had sex with your wife two different times.
But it was true. He was like, even if he lost this and didn't retire, he would have been perfectly fine next year. Like this would have meant nothing.
But it almost felt like some kind of like dark fairy tale where like Art on paper has won as far as like having a career and having money and legally being married to the woman, but it's not real. Like it's,
and that, I think that's right.
Having a kid.
He's like trying to convince himself in that. That's the other reason that I liked it. It also felt like this character is trying to convince themselves of everything that they were saying.
And that's why the music was so loud because everything he was saying was fake. They were like, you don't even need to hear this. Don't even listen.
Slow motion.
What did you guys think of that shot from the ball's perspective?
Yes, that's what I was going
to say. That was interesting.
All of the different cuts to different POVs I thought that was
weird to have that at the end, but I liked it.
Yeah.
I cheered for all of that. The camera was under the court. At certain points.
When they bounced a ball on the
under the court. We were their POVs. We were the POVs of the ball. All of that was like, I was like, they just did whatever. They were like, we're doing every possible thing
also,
you can think of. We're doing it.
The composite of like her looking and they like did the, like they just like kind of had close-ups of like both of them there with like her in the center.
That was great. That was a great
that was
show.
Cool. That was great. I loved that.
I think my favorite is still everybody in the crowd going side to side and her just kind of staring straight ahead. I mean, it was great, but I don't know. I had a lot of fun. This movie was really fun.
It was like they're watching the show, but she made the show. It was cool. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
My two little white boys. What did she say?
Yes. My little white boys. She should have said that.
My little white boys.
Oh my god. Oh, I just went to the two quotes on IMDb and I forgot about this quote. She said, "You have a better shot with a handgun in your mouth."
Yo. Yo. She was so mean to him. All of those things, but that was like, I was like, "Damn."
This man lives in his car. Watch yourself. Like that's rough as hell.
Yeah.
I'm taking such good care of my little white boys. That's what she said.
But why wasn't Patrick like remotely successful? It seemed like he's really good, but I mean, she did say like, you give it up in the second set, but like, it, like, why didn't it go well for him? He seems really great.
I'm saying he was never the type of dude to be fully hard and talk about tennis
because get he out of here.
Because he was
stop
never because
back.
He was never that dude. I truly mean this.
I know what you're saying.
Is
think
Art
I,
that dude?
Okay, I think
know.
I know what you're saying, James. Essentially, it was like Patrick had this raw talent, but because he viewed tennis as just the game,
yeah,
and not a relationship, like he didn't take it seriously enough to consistently be
yes
top rated person.
Absolutely.
And he was like, mm-hmm. I can, and even though individually, and this is what Pat, this is what Art was trying to say in that sauna scene, was like, he was like, well, you've never beaten me. And he's like, I don't have to beat you. Like, that's yeah. the whole point. Like, I haven't beaten plenty of people here. Like, but I win when it matters. And yeah. it's like, mm-hmm. he wasn't consistent and dedicated enough to like actually make a career for himself, even right. though he could, he had the talent.
Right. He, yeah. In that monologue, in that scene on the date, when he's talk, I think it was the date, but when he's like, you just have to be just, but I mean, you have to be good enough to reach that mid, the top 125 or whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, 120,
the,
yeah.
And the top 100 automatically get in. And he was like, yeah, sometimes I'm good enough to get in that extra bit. And it's like, you're that good that you don't have to work as hard as everybody else. And you can just be in the top 125. Like, that's, you know, mm-hmm. but all he needed was that little bit of extra. All he needed was to be able to. Yeah.
Or a real coach or whatever.
A real yeah. coach. Yeah. Whatever it is.
You know, hearing all of this, it's changed my opinion about like the characters not being multifaceted, because what I'm thinking about with Tashi that I wasn't originally like giving that character their flowers for, like watching The Last Dance, Michael Jordan is a psychopath.
Yes.
He like, we don't know anything else about him, but basketball. I hate that guy. I'm going to fight that guy. You guys aren't working hard enough. We're talking about basketball. He would have sex and talk about basketball. So I
yeah,
feel like, you know what? Maybe it's a part of my own, like, having assumptions about what a woman would do, but like if she is that tigress of a player, like, you know what? Honestly, she would be that obsessed.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think people at that level, that high up, it's like mm-hmm. you kind of have to be. You have to be yeah. Like fully obsessed, especially when you're that young too. You know, mm-hmm. it's just like you'd give everything to it, and she couldn't give it up. You know, I did love that line when she was like, I get like, because she had said she couldn't afford boarding school. And also, she wanted to go to college. Like, one of the reasons she wasn't going straight to the pros is because she didn't want to be, like, her only skill in life to be hitting a ball with a racket. And then later on, she's like, I guess my only skill in life is hitting a ball with a racket. You know, like, she was kind yeah. of, like, trying to
fight that
part of herself that was just real. And, like, this is what she cared about. She cares about winning. Yeah.
Last pitch, but I think it's that Art is fucking Zendaya is pegging Patrick. That's
get,
what I think is happening in LA.
Get out of here.
I don't know what any of this is.
Get out of here.
All right. It's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we liked it, but whether or not it helped the cause of leading Black actors in Hollywood. So we feel like this film fully helped that cause. We give it a black fist. If it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm. If it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. So on the count of three, we'll raise up our ratings for challengers. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Three black fists. Pretty easy.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I love seeing a tennis film about a black woman versus her father.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Did you see the Richard Williams movie?
Yeah,
where I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Why are we talking about
that's
this
not
man
her
and
father,
not his
yeah,
two daughters?
Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah.
Is that his name, Richard Williams?
King yeah, Richard. Or yeah, Richard Williams. Richard, yeah. Yes. I mean, Richard Williams, right? That would be his last name.
I think so.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Zendaya was excellent in this film. I think it's like mm-hmm. we talked about We've talked about the fact that she actually hasn't really been the lead of a movie outside of maybe Malcolm Marie. Is that what it's called?
Malcolm and Marie. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's kind of like, you know, she's in Dune. She's in Spider-Man. She's in, you know, Greatest Showman. But she's like always kind of like a nut. Like there's like a big lead and then like her. And this, it's like, it felt like, even though it was kind of like three, like there were three of them, like it was like her, she was like the main kind of driver of everything.
Yeah. I mean, is she the, I don't know these other guys, but in terms of name, well, what's his name? The other credits are extensive.
One of the guys is on The Crown.
Yes.
The guy who plays Patrick.
Josh
plays
is on The Crown.
A young Charles, I think. And
I mean, both everybody's career is huge. Oh, my man was Riff in West Side Story. That's what
He was in West Side Story. Yeah. But not the biggest part.
But like, is she the name? You know what I mean? Like,
She's definitely the name. I mean, the poster is literally her face.
Her face.
Right? Yeah. And then them in the reflection of the glasses. So she's the draw, 100%.
She's the draw.
Yeah.
But I feel like she's already ascended to that status. I hear what you mean for like specifically movies, but I feel like Euphoria.
Yeah, Euphoria
I felt
is
like
hers.
That's where her flag was like, you know.
Yeah.
Witches of Waverly Place. I actually don't know which Disney.
And that's true. It's just that this is the first like movie where she's like, and I guess and the only reason I'm not fully counting Malcolm and Marie is just because it was like a smaller film. It like came out during the pandemic. It's like a Netflix movie. It's just, you know, but anyway, yeah, this was cool. So excited. I mean, like, yeah, she has obviously a blossoming career in front of her. It's going to be exciting.
She was not on Wizards of Waverly Place. She was
like,
on that
how
show.
Are you framing this? Like, it's like as if she's up and comer Zendaya. She's going to be all right. Like, she's killing. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
she is not established.
It's because it's her first, like, lead feature, right? Or maybe second. It's like, it's like maybe hopefully once she's out of this Marvel contract, she'll be able to do even more of these things.
Yeah, I guess I'm like interested to see like what her career will become. Like, is she going to be a like Jennifer Lawrence type, a Halle Berry type? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I'm excited, and like,
yeah,
we have a lot of young Black women actresses who are doing incredibly well, but like, I don't know. The industry tends to discard, you know, women and Black women, and especially like quickly.
Huh? No, they don't. They're real nice and easy. Give us jobs. It's fine. I just walk over and I go, give me my script, please.
It's like, oh, here you go.
Here you go, little Black girl.
All right. Anything else? Anything else you want to say? Any closing thoughts? Anything you haven't said?
Nope. I think I said
it. All right.
Why was it so windy?
Wow, that storm was so windy. There was a certain point where I was like,
it was so windy.
Also, I was like, why is there so much trash in New Rochelle? Because my God, there was so much litter just everywhere. I was like, this place is
full of trash.
Wait,
was that Atlanta?
No, that was New Rochelle.
I don't.
Yeah.
New Rochelle. It was. Yes.
Yeah. I was like, there was so much trash here. Anywho.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's all I got.
Caroline, thank you so much for joining us. Is there, can people follow you? Would you like people to follow you on social media? Is there anything you'd like to plug?
They can definitely come see me perform at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in Los Angeles doing ASCAT. And I don't really do the socials. The socials are for me to watch my animal content and recipes. So don't follow me.
Amazing.
Don't.
And that's it. This is such a delight. Yeah.
You putting it that way, I mean, by just flat out asking people not to follow you, in most contexts, that would be what you would say. Don't follow me. Like, don't follow me. Like, don't like, don't go.
Sure.
Yeah, you don't need to know what I'm up to. I'm just puppy content and recipes. Ooh, a Mediterranean orzo. Like, that's what I'm doing, and that's my business.
There you go. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. I'm on a Herald team called This Is She at Upper Citizens Brigade Theater.
Woo!
This Is She.
In LA. So if you want to see me do that, come on out. I forgot. Our next show is actually not for a while. Oh, we have a Patreon. So we do bonus episodes every other week. The last one we did was the Madea film Mea Culpa, which honestly, I'm so glad we reviewed that. That movie was crazy. So yeah, it's $5 a month. It helps keep this podcast free. So thank you so much for everybody who is a subscriber to that. And you can find that at blackmanpodcast.com or links for that. James?
You can follow me at Rule of Three Inc., ruleof3inc.com. 3 is the number 3. And I have a Kickstarter going on right now for more issues of my comic series, Junior. You can follow me at those places I just said for more information.
Thank you so much for listening. We will see you in 2 weeks. Peace.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!